Bilky, I awoke today with a new notion on life.
What was it?
Sometimes we perceive life as a tragedy, but really, it's a comedy.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh man, we got some good stuff for you on today's show, so we're gonna get that intro music going and get sweaty, nerds. Welcome back to A Little Bit of Nerd, your recreation destination for all things nerdy. I'm your host as usual, Jalen Holston, recently discovering, along with me, that sometimes life is more of a comedy than a tragedy. Is Mr. Bilky, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm well. I really did think life was a tragedy when I woke up and it was freezing outside out of nowhere, but then I had to laugh at it and realize.
I can see my breath this morning.
Yeah.
I was not okay with that.
I mean, I liked the cold, but damn, it really came overnight.
And our show's over, so we can't even say that winter's coming anymore.
No, winter has come. It's over. The show's finished. Winter's here.
It's happened. Today we're going to get back to our more formatted version of the show, since we're kind of back in the saddle here over at A Little Bit of Nerd.
You bet your ass we are.
Oh, and it's nice.
Feels good.
Good leather on the cheeks there.
Some good consistency.
Yes, good. Gonna be going over the Joker. Bilky, you saw that, didn't you?
I did see Joker.
Excellent. So we'll have a mini review, and then once exciting. I see it, we'll do a full-on spoiler review, per usual, here at A Little Bit of Nerd. Gonna get into a Gemini Man preview. That's the new Will Smith film, premiering tomorrow, actually.
No shit, really?
Yes, it's out tomorrow, but I will be seeing it Sunday with my auntie.
Excellent.
More welcome to come, by the way, if you'd like.
Yeah, fuck around.
Yeah, if you want. And then, of course, we'll get into Batwoman season premiere and a bunch of other fun topics of the show, so let's get it rolling.
Yes.
First on the docket, of course, as mentioned, Joker, the film that stars Joaquin Phoenix and directed by Todd Phillips. Don't know if you ever heard of a little film called The Hangover, but those are the movies that he previously directed.
A dude knows what he's doing behind a camera.
He's pretty good. Pretty, pretty good. It's a standalone Joker movie with no Batman. The initial concept, of course, when we all heard it, was like, what?
Yeah, I was confused because I wasn't sure if it was going to be an origin story and we're getting a new Batman or
that's
a new
what I'm like, saying.
Cinematic DC. I don't even know.
Yeah. And it's cool that it's a standalone thing. Like, this has nothing to do with like Justice League or Wonder Woman. It's just kind of in its own.
And bubble. I like that.
Yes.
It just like begs the question, what comes next? Are they going to keep doing standalones? Are they just going to give up on creating their own version of an MCU? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Especially after seeing the movie.
I think DC has a cool avenue that they could do, which, like, they could just keep making, like, their own solo, like, one-note narrative movies like all their cartoons, but just, like, make them real life. You use, like, the same actors. Like, don't have to be connected, but you could just make, like, a Batman Year One movie, and then that's it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Be a Batman Red Hood movie and have that be done, like...
Yeah, you could, because there's so many different Robins that you can tap into as well.
Right.
Which would be awesome. But I doubt that we're going to get something like that.
Yeah, me too, but it's okay. Opening weekend, it took in $96 million. Actually broke Venom's October box office weekend numbers.
That's awesome. Good for them.
Awesome. Very good. I mean, the film had like maybe a $40 million budget, so obviously it made its money back and then some.
Right, doubled.
So, very, very, I'm happy for it. But the thing we're going to talk about are these reviews, man, because it's got a 68% critic and a 90% audience score from Rotten Tomatoes. Bilky, what the hell?
That's what I keep seeing everywhere, and it's confusing the absolute shit out of me.
I don't understand what these critics are trying to knock down on this film when they say they disapprove the movie.
I think it's the same kind of people who didn't like new Star Wars movies or didn't like certain people coming into the MCU, and it's just old heads who are hating on the idea of a standalone Joker or just something different than what they've seen in the past.
Right.
It's putting them out of their comfort zone a little, and I don't think they like that.
And they've had all this weird speculation about how it's inspiring, like, chaos or terrorism and all that stuff, and even Joaquin Phoenix came out. We talked about a little bit last week how, you know, it's not the film's job to, you know, produce your sense of morality. You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
If you, like, people are going to shoot up a school or shoot up a film because they want to, not because, oh, well, I saw this movie and it sounded like a great idea.
Just had to do it.
Just going
to
run it down.
Yeah, that's terrible. Especially if you're taking your ideals of morality off a Joker movie.
That
question mark?
I think you have more things going on in your life there.
Dude, I love the film. I thought it was really well done. It was slow at times, but it was okay because it's a sad and somber movie.
Yes.
Because you get this look at Joaquin Phoenix from The Jump, right? And he's trying to take care of his mom, who's very sick, and you almost feel bad for him before he, like, claims the identity of the Joker.
Yeah.
Because the dude who just keeps getting literally kicked into the shit. Constantly.
Jesus.
Constantly, dude. His life is just going downhill over and over and over. And the way he comes into the Joker is cool. I don't want to give away too much.
Right.
But from start to finish, I never looked away. And I was always wondering, like, okay, where are they going to go from here? When is it going to happen? When's the anarchy start coming in? And it gave it to me.
Nice.
It's not a whole lot of chaos throughout the whole movie, but when it hits, your jaw drops.
Oof.
You're like, holy shit, wait, what? Oh. You really just do that? And then you remember, oh, wait, this is Joker.
Yeah.
That was my biggest thing to go away from the movie, was the ending doesn't leave a whole lot.
Right.
But then you have to remember, okay, I'm watching Joker. He's going to get away with some of the crazy shit he's doing, and people aren't going to know how to handle it because that's his character.
Right.
That's what I want people to take away from this movie.
Excellent. Well, but dude, I'm hyped hard now see it. That review, bro.
Yeah, hard see it. It's see amazing.
It. You heard it here first, folks. Hard see it for the Joker. Staying in the realm of DC, the Birds of Prey trailer dropped, I think, the same week that we did our comeback pod, but we didn't have a chance to look at it quite yet. So now we're going to do that right now. It stars Margot Robbie. She's back playing Harley Quinn.
Awesome.
She's basically been the front runner and forehead for this project. She's like...
Really?
She like got all the casting done tried to get most of the people to come in the movie that are in there as far as like getting the right cast, getting the right directors, writers, all that stuff. So really this movie is like all on her to succeed, which kind of... It hypes me up because I feel like it's going to be better than Suicide Squad, but it also...
I hope so.
Like for her sake, I'm hoping like it doesn't just go off the rails.
That confuses me a little, because after hearing her review on Suicide Squad, I thought she didn't want to play Harley anymore.
Same, that's why I was like, and then she's like, oh no, Margot Robbie's going to try to make a Birds of Prey movie.
She didn't like the wardrobe, she didn't like a lot of the dialogue she had, and the way she had to sexualize stuff. She's still wearing
the same-ish wardrobe.
That's why I'm so confused that she's the front runner for all this.
Interesting, Margot Robbie, interesting.
Maybe she's pulling like a reverse Natalie Portman. She's going to like hyper-endorse the DC universe instead of running away from it.
Oh man, the other notable DC characters that are in that movie are Huntress and Black Canary, of course.
I'm super hyped to see Black Canary.
Yes. I'm hyped to see Huntress. Like, where because really, I've only seen the Arrow version, obviously, because I watched that show.
What show? Never heard of it.
Bitch. You son of a bitch. How dare you? It's literally the best one.
No, I know. I ought to give it a try.
Son of a bitch. But yeah, I'm hyped to see what their take on a live action Huntress is, because I don't know if they can do any kind of like name dropping or link it to a Green Arrow in that universe, but it'd be cool if they did.
Confusing. That's what we were just talking about with Joker. What is the DC universe as far as cinema is concerned?
Non-existent.
Yeah.
Non-existent.
I think it's going to be a good film though. Yeah. And what's his face? Ewan's in it. Pretty cool.
Sir Obi-Wan Kenobi, otherwise known as Ewan McGregor, is playing the lead villain, Black Mask. It's going to be awesome.
It caught me off guard when I saw him.
Yes.
I was like, wait, what is he doing?
Now, my guess is, I don't think it's like, I don't know. I think it's going to go one of two ways. Either they have him do most of the voice acting for the Black Mask, and it's like a stuntman stand-in to do all the action stuff.
Right.
Or it'll be Ewan McGregor in his traditional costume for like 2 minutes, and then the rest of the movie he doesn't have the mask on. I'm fine either way. Hype that Ewan McGregor's in the movie.
I wouldn't mind seeing him off the trailer. I got the vibe he's gonna kind of be like Kingpin, where he's just calling shots from behind the scenes, and he's not gonna do a whole lot because I never saw him in his suit.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
That's a hot take.
It'd be cool. Have him like, you know, puppet mastering everything.
Other thing I liked in the trailer was like the action scenes. It still has a Suicide Squad look to it.
Yeah, it does.
But I will say the action choreo looks a little bit more fresh and dynamic than Suicide Squad's. It looks a little bit cleaner.
Yeah, it looks fluid. Like Harley can use martial arts now.
Beat ass. It's amazing. She got a
little training in time for Suicide Squad.
Like she's out here doing like the leg spin on the head and thing. I'm like, okay.
It's straight WWE shit. But then she also has the bat still, hopefully. And
yeah.
Like, the scene whenever they show the girl throwing the bomb out of the car, that reminded me of some Deadpool shit. So I hope there is some comedy in there, too.
I very much know there's going to be some comedy. It's Harley Quinn. Like, there's going to be these weird jokes, some like, mad sarcasm stuff. Obviously, there's going to be just pure insanity, because that's how it rolls. But, yeah, I am very much looking forward to Birds of Prey more than I was prior to seeing the trailer. Now that I have something to go off of, I will definitely give it a whirl.
So do we see any of Joker in this?
Ooh.
Or do we just get name dropped?
So I'm going to predict that we don't see Jared Leto's Joker, because that's the version we would see. But if we did, I wouldn't be mad. I really just want Jared Leto's Joker to get a redemption.
I thought he did great. Because
I thought he did, like, his version was cool. It was this, like, kind of gangster, pimp, Joker situation. Like, bro, let's go. I want to see
more. That's something I've always valued in the DC movies, even if they haven't been my favorite. It's the fact that you can get anyone to play Joker and they'll make it their own.
Yes.
Even though it's that same character. And the same with the Batman characters.
Yeah. I mean, we had Nicholson, then we had Heath Ledger, before Nicholson there was another person. I always forget his name, but he was like the 60s Joker.
Yeah.
And then of course we had Heath Ledger, and then we had Jared Leto, and now obviously we have Joaquin Phoenix. And Mark Hamill, honorable mention, because he did the animated series. So
that was good too.
It was great. It was great. Love Mark Hamill's Joker. He has, like, I think out of the Joker laughs, I think his Joker laughs the best.
I was just about to comment on that, because his is scary.
It's haunting.
It's scary.
Haunting, man.
And I think it's easier, and I say easier in a loose term here, but I think it's easier to get into that.
We are
that,
by no means actors or professionals in the
in any way,
cinema.
But if I were to be in the voice acting realm, where I can just sit behind closed doors and not be on a camera, even though it's Mark Hamill, he's fine in front of a camera, it might be easier to get into that psychotic laugh domain inside the head. I don't know.
I loved when he got to come play the trickster on The Flash, because that was literally him just being the Joker.
Really?
It's the same character, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. It was amazing, man.
Yeah, I would have lost my shit if I saw Mark Hamill just pop up. Like, wait,
catch up, bro. The seasons are on Netflix. The jewels are there for you to hold, my friend.
I never had good vibes watching DC TV.
I feel you.
Same with Marvel TV. I really haven't liked a lot of Marvel TV.
Okay, Marvels are, like, legitimately awful, though. Like,
yeah, they suck, dude.
They're just, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Carter wasn't that bad. I just couldn't stick with it, but
I didn't get into Luke Cage as much as I wanted to. Punisher was cool.
That was probably the best one. Punisher was fantastic, and so was Daredevil, but
yeah, Daredevil was good, too. We watched that one.
Defenders was solid, but anyways, We're in the wrong universe.
The time section is switch over.
Gotta go back here now.
Other timelines.
Moving right along to Gemini Man. This is the new Will Smith film that's coming out, as we mentioned, tomorrow. It's coming out, but I'm going to see it Sunday.
Right.
Directed by Ang Lee. He did a Hulk film in 2001, the OG Hulk, with Eric Bana.
Now, what's the enemy he fights on that?
His dad, which then gets
he morphs into
like nature, and it's weird and no one understands it, but it's like beautifully directed, but
I remember
so confused because it's Ang Lee.
You don't know what the hell's going on, but you love watching every second of it.
Yes, I don't like that Hulk movie. Like, I can't say it was bad because I was young. I was too young then to like actually form an opinion on it.
Yes.
I watched it recently. I was like, wow, this is actually like a beautifully directed film. But the dialogue was just god-awful, and the plot was kind of stupid.
The CGI is not bad, though.
No, CGI was, for the time was great. But, like, I think Ang Lee did what he could as far as his job was concerned. I just wish the rest of it would have kind of come together.
So what if they would have waited for Ang Lee? Like, you know how James Cameron, that's a dude who did Avatar, right?
Yes.
He waited quite a while before he made that film because the technology wasn't there.
Apparently he's making like 6 more still.
What?
Like, he's a madman.
Oh my god, I didn't know that. It would be cool if we got a Hulk Ang Lee reboot. Like, with current times?
Well, why don't they just get him and then get the rights back from Universal? Because apparently Marvel or Disney can just do whatever they want now. And then just do that with the guy that plays him now.
That'd be sick. It'd
be fantastic.
But about this Gemini Man.
It's about Gemini Man, not Ang Lee.
So,
I'm excited. I love action Will Smith more than I love dramatic Will Smith.
I am also excited for it, but it just leads me to this point again that Will Smith does not play well with others.
Ooh, yes.
It just doesn't work for him. And
that's not even an opinion. That's like a fact. Like,
yeah, that's
multiple
it's
reports
a bummer,
come out
dude.
About that. Yeah.
Because I was thinking back to some of the movies he's done, and some of the ones I like the most are solo films, essentially, for him. Like, I Am Legend.
Hancock.
Exactly.
Well, he kind of had to play with Charlize Theron, but still, it was mainly Will.
Still, it was Charlize. Like, come on, come on. And she's your love interest.
Oh, come on, man. You can't live without her, can you? Your gold sent to the earth. Yes.
But yeah, I hope this is a good movie. I just don't want it to be another I Am Legend or just another something like that.
I'm excited for Gemini Man. And in case any of you are wondering what the plot is, he's basically a retired assassin, but there's a mysterious killer that is trying to bring him down, and he reveals that it's a clone of himself, and so there he's trying to take down the people that made the clone, and it's drama and sci-fi, weird stuff, angly, action,
boom. It's classic Will Smith, too, because he's going to play a younger version of himself again.
Yes, obviously. It's great.
Let's see young Will Smith again.
I saw behind the scenes, voice crack, I saw behind the scenes of how they did the CGI rendering. It was kind of cool. Like, he just would do all the scenes, but he has, like, the mask on, mm-hmm. and then they just go back in and digitally remove all the...
Get those wrinkles out of there.
It's interesting, man. Technology. What a world we live in, man. But I'm hyped as hell. I love action Will Smith more than dramatic Will Smith, as I said earlier. Because, like, I've seen Pursuit of Happiness. I love Pursuit of Happiness. But, like, when Will Smith just gets to be this cool action dude, like, he is in Bad Boys. I even love Wild Wild West.
Or Men in Black.
Men in Black. Like, yeah, like, the OG, like, back when Will Smith was making action movies all the time in the summer.
That's awesome.
I get hyped for those movies, man.
Because he can do it so well. He's a very athletic dude, so action roles, I think, come naturally to him.
As soon as he made Ali and put on that, like, 30 pounds of muscle, that's when all those action, like, you know.
Wade, he can do this.
What was it, Judgment Day? No, not Judgment Day.
He has so many movies, man.
There's the one where he's the pilot. That's really what kicked it off after that, too. It was just like, man, Will Smith is action films. And, yeah, I'm excited. Can't wait.
I am, too.
But moving right along, we're going to take a dip back into the Marvel universe for a little bit. And this was a friend of ours, John Campia. I don't know if anyone watches his show. He's not really a friend. I just watch him frequently. Just full disclosure. But he had an interesting topic, and I think we would like to discuss that as well, of what if there were two live-action Spider-Men in both the hands of Sony and Marvel? Thoughts, opinions, reactions.
First thought is... which side does Tom go on?
Ooh. I would... okay, so in this scenario, let's do... We'll do two.
Okay.
Let's say this scenario, they... Marvel keeps Tom Holland. Okay. And then Sony can do whatever the hell they want with their version of live action. And keep in mind the category listing of different Spider-Men that they would have available.
Right.
Go forth.
Almost infinite.
Yes.
So it's cool to me that Tom would stay in the MCU in this hypothetical situation. And I think that he would need to.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because of all the characters that the MCU already has and won't let go of. Because if you're going to keep building it, especially with the way Far From Home ended, you need to keep him in the MCU.
Oh, for sure.
On Marvel's leash. Oh, it's so terrible to say
I have
that.
Theories, but...
so terrible.
I have theories about how they're going to handle it, but we can save that.
But if there were to be two, I think it would be confusing for some. I think hardcore Spider-Man fans like you and myself, we really wouldn't be too upset about it because it's just more Spider-Man.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm happy with it, but as long as they don't make it hyper confusing and they stick with the timelines that they've already been building, I don't really see that big of an issue with it.
I'll piggyback off your point as far as the mass confusion. I think majority of the people would just be like, what the hell is going on?
Yes.
Like, I immediately think about my grandma asking those questions. She's like, she'd be like, wait a second, there's two Spider-Man now? What's going on? Why are there two live going back and forth? But for us sweaties, though, I mean, good God, that would be amazing.
More Spider-Man.
Yes. Like, think of a scenario where maybe, like, Marvel puts out their Tom Holland Spider-Man movie 1 year, and the next year we get our Miles Morales from Sony, and then they just like alternate every year, and we have Spider-Man movies. So, yeah. But I think
That's a great point.
Just
to cut you off real quick, if they did Tom Holland's Peter Parker in the MCU, but also wanted another live action, if they didn't do another Peter Parker in the Sony universe, I think that would be key.
Exactly.
I don't think the other ones.
Yeah, I don't think they could get away with doing two Peter Parkers, but they could do Miles Morales, for example. They could do the Spider-Man 2099. They could do, like, a Spider-Man Noir, just a one-off spin-off film or something.
They could do Spider-Gwen, too.
They could do Spider-Gwen. That'd
because
be great.
We have Mary Jane in the MCU now.
We sure do.
Dude, there is a lot of shit they can do, and we've already established these characters into the Spider-Verse so people know who they are.
So, like, piggybacking off that, if you really wanted to do it, like, you could just have Into the Spider-Verse 2 sequel start off with the 5 minutes of animation, and they all just get warped into live action. Like, that's how you could do it. Shout out to Rob. He was on the John Campia show, came up with that one. That's a great point.
Nice.
I'm steal it and take it. Good for you, sir. But no, I like that idea a lot too. But like, there's just so many variations. I think it could work out really well, especially with all the drama that's been happening with the sharing deal.
Yes. Because Disney doesn't share.
Yeah. So like the next point is, do we really think it's going to happen? Hell no.
No, hard no. 0%
that's going to happen. I really want it to. I'm always the optimist when it comes to like benefiting fans or like whatever, but it would come down to money pretty much. And also the risk Disney would take by doing that. Like, imagine they put out their movie and everyone's been loving Tom Holland Spider-Man, but then Sony just comes around and goes, I'm going to slip you a Miles Morales. And then all of a sudden that beats out their box office.
Yeah, what if they shit on like, the MCU? Oh, man. Oh, that has to be a fear that they have.
Oh, yeah, it is. They're scared, bro.
Oh, man, that would be wild. The tables would flip so hard. Mm. I would feel bad for Tom, though.
Because let's be real honest here. Sony's made better Spider-Man movies than Disney has to this point.
Yes.
They've made Spider-Man 2, Sam Raimi.
Still
the greatest, probably one of the great. It's my favorite superhero movie of all time. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And now they have Into the Spider-Verse, which is better than both of those movies combined. So,
Disney and Marvel had Andrew Garfield, right?
Yeah, no, sorry. Sony had Garfield.
Okay, so they do hold an L for Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Because they introduced Rhino at the end of that, and then the whole thing just blew up.
Listen, Sony has their L's, but let's not forget, like, they've made the best Spider-Man movies thus far.
Agreed.
Like Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home are fantastic films, but they're, like, Spider-Man 1 and 2 from Sony with Tobey. And I'll give The Amazing up there, too, as well as being a little bit better than the ones that Tom Holland's done so far are still better than the Disney ones.
I
would agree.
I really like that the Tom ones sit in the MCU because it follows the plot line that I've been watching for half my life. Damn near.
10 years and 20 years. Whatever.
Right? But I just think that Sony usually edges them out with how they deliver Spider-Man. Because I swear if they keep talking about Peter Tingles or making him like a little bitch or just like not living up to what he is in the comics, it's going to piss me off.
Yeah, I'm at that breaking point too. Like Spider-Man, this third Spider-Man, we just need to go full on the board with what Peter Parker is as a character. Like if you want to modify it and kind of introduce some like some of the new Amazing Spider-Man threads from like the all new, all different Marvel, which is cool, which is kind of what they're doing with him having all the technology. I think that's fine, but like call it a Spider-Sense. Call it, you know, call it like it is. Like you don't have to give us a full origin story, but just be like, no, my Uncle Ben did blah, 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 or something like that. Like, you know, be like, you can honor the material. I don't know what the contracting is and what they're allowed to say per se. Maybe that's why we're so frustrated, but I'm right there with you.
Because I don't remember any of the Sony Spider-Man films talking about the Spider-Sense.
No, they just showed it.
Yeah, because we know it's there.
We know it exists. We know it exists.
Oh, it's frustrating.
It's
because Marvel keeps going to these super finite details as far as maybe his tech goes or his suit, and they're giving us all these things, but they're not giving us the base character.
Give me the grits.
Yes.
Give me the goods.
It's not necessarily his personality the whole time.
No, and
that irks me.
Yeah, it's
because it doesn't need to be like that. It just needs to be better.
I know they can do better
because they're dumping so much money into these movies.
And you have Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Like, the dude's good.
And he's wanted to play Spider-Man since he came out of his mother.
And thank God that he actually, like, talked to the heads of Sony and Marvel, by the way.
And he did?
Yeah. He was the leading force of why they were able to breach a deal. He's like, look, man, get your shit together.
Get it together. You have a responsibility to the people who have been supporting you for so long.
Yes.
So long.
Yes.
And if, for whatever reason, they want to go with like a Spider-Man 2099 in the Sony universe.
Oh my god, that'd be so freaking
cool. I will be sending in an audition tape. Yes. And we can go from there. Can you imagine a 6'8 Spider-Man on the screen?
I'm pretty sure that version of Spider-Man is Latina, so maybe you get a spray tan before, or, you know.
Yeah, I think my blonde hair and blue eyes might
deter you from the role.
Maybe I can play a villain, though.
Ooh,
I will get it on.
Yes.
I will.
Moving along down the list here, as we stay in the little Disney bubble, apparently Rian Johnson's Star Wars trilogy is no longer happening.
Rip the dream.
Thank you, all you old people that are set in your ways and hated on Episode 8. I hate you all.
Ew, it's just ruining it for everyone. And I really hope this pod just doesn't take a super negative turn.
I don't know. About this, I just, I'm like, upset. Fuck, I'm frustrated. I liked Episode 8, of course. Most people didn't, or did. I don't know. Whatever your opinion on the film is, it's fine. But yeah, I just... It's the old fan base that's really fueling this because of how much hate they spread onto Episode 8. Because the reality is, majority of people that went to go see it liked it.
Yes.
Like, that weren't hardcore nerds. So
the only thing I really didn't like was how they killed Snoke.
Right, and that was stupid. I'll give him that. And then the Canto Bite stuff. But, like, the rest of the film is a good film. It's just different. Like, it's a Rian Johnson film. Like, that's what it is. And I respect that he made his movie. And I have a theory that if Star Wars wasn't the title of it, and it was just a sci-fi movie, everyone would be fine.
You're probably right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's be real honest about it.
They brought in Donald Glover for that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was an awesome movie, man. Yeah,
that was great.
Yeah, I would like to see Rian Johnson back, but... that's clearly not going to be a thing. And I'm really not sure where they run with Star Wars after this now.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like, it's okay. I mean, his trilogy was supposed to be something with, like, the Old Republic and whatever, but...
that's badass.
Man. I know. I was like, come on, dude. Like, let's do this. But apparently not.
So, is he... he directed the one that's going to come out this December, right?
No, they went back to JJ for 9, which is good. That's great. They had to because of PR. Otherwise... that would have been a nightmare after 8.
Yeah, people probably would have just been outside with pitchforks, yes, and flames. Like, no, this mob is here to stop
They would
this.
Have constructed actual lightsabers the best they could, right, and then tried to swing down the fences of Disney retarded. Studios.
Like, you're still getting Star Wars movies. So I don't understand how upset the community can really get when the films aren't even that bad.
No, and they're trying to say it's, like, the worst movie of all time, blah, 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 blah.
It's ridiculous.
It's stupid.
If these old heads can live through Jar Jar Binks...
for the love of God, man!
Then there's, like, no way
tell
they
me.
Can't deal with this other stuff.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
And it's frustrating because you're punishing the people that they're trying to target, which is a younger audience.
Yeah, and this new generation's not going to know the difference between the old ones and the new ones. Like, and it's not made for you anymore. Like, your stuff's done. Like,
it's the boomers.
Like, yeah, the boomer stuff, it's done, bro. Like, this is all for the new generation. Like, no one cares that you're upset that Luke didn't fight in Episode 8. Like, I'm sorry, but no one cares. And honestly, yeah. I've seen all the old stuff. I like the old stuff, but, like, if Luke would have been jumping around like Yoda in the prequels, I would have been like, wow, this is literally the worst film ever made.
Agreed, because it doesn't make sense.
It makes zero sense. Because I don't care about the Force or whatever, what you want to say. If he's an 80-year-old man, he should be an 80-year-old man. He'd fight like Obi-Wan did in the Episode 4. It would just kind of be the slow, like...
the samurai style. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, take it easy.
Oh, my back. Oh, God. Oh.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
And do you think any 16-year-old kid who saw that movie, 16 or under, it doesn't even matter, the new target audience, is going to be upset with anything they did?
No.
No.
Not
they're
going to
go,
single
who is
thing.
The old guy? Why yeah. is this old dude on the screen? I want to see Rey.
I know. Man. What a time.
It's annoying.
What a time
it's
to be
super
alive.
Super annoying. Yeah, they definitely had their time and it passed, and they need to accept that. Because they spent, what? The original movies that came out in this new Star Wars world,
right?
They were so upset because they're like, yeah, it's a reboot of A New Hope. They're just doing the same thing over and over.
And then they got something different, and then they were like, oh, it's too different! Again, it's too different!
Make up your fucking minds,
man.
Dude. Like, you're mad that I'm just confusing. The new one is too close to the old one, but I want more Star Wars that sits in the same timeline. But now Luke is 104, and he's like, how far do you want it to go? Mark Hamill does not have another 50 years on this planet.
No.
I'm sorry. I love you, Mark Hamill, but he doesn't. So he's not going to keep being fucking Luke Skywalker. So are they going to... oh, well, now Luke's young again because...
Carrie Fisher is literally dead.
It's
like, I don't know what...
where do you go with this? And we got weird Force stuff with an old woman. whenever Carrie Fisher just floated through space after that shit blew up.
I don't know. It was...
And you never really see her use the Force in any other movie. No. Unless it's, like, a hint of Luke talking to her or something.
And there's, like, there's canon stuff that says that she does have, like, she is Force sensitive and she has done some training. So, like, that scene alone when people are like, why is she just flying like Mary Poppins? It's like, no, like... She's in space for one. Okay. Anyways, we're gonna sit here and go for 8 hours about this episode 8 again. But it's a
moral
it's
of the great. Story. You old heads suck, and you're ruining it for all the young kids who are trying to discover Star Wars.
Slightly. Shout out to you, Mr. Young. Anyways,
you two cakes.
Yes, you two cakes. Oh, and Walsh. Don't forget. Don't think we forgot about you, yes. Mr. I hate every movie. Mm-hmm.
Fucking Walsh. Stupid idiot. What's next? Get me out of here.
Headed ninny muggins. Moving on to DC TV stuff, otherwise known as Jalen Recaps the Flash, because Arrow got moved to Wednesdays and Bilkey doesn't watch any of the other shows, but actually Arrow got moved back to its original date and now there's Batwoman.
Breathe.
Did it. What a segment title, huh?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
You can get that on a t-shirt.
I do. Just like a long...
like a Star Wars style, where it's just a long ass... That'd be awesome.
All right. For this segment, I'm just going to review the Batwoman season series premiere because it came on this week. It was pretty... it was all right. It's all right.
I watched the trailer, the thing that pops up on Netflix or whatever, yes. Up in the top, and I was just like, I don't know if I really want to watch this. Then I read the description, and then I confirmed that I really don't want to watch this.
Listen, I think Ruby Rose did fine. She did a lot of her own stuff, like Stephen Amell did for Arrow, which is awesome. And she's also known for that, so that's why they casted her for this specific role. But the other CW shows, you can say what you want about them overall. Like, they are not the greatest on Earth, but, like, their series premieres are usually lit. Like, the Flash's series premiere, I was like... Oh my god!
Right.
And Arrow was like, ooh, I can feel the steam of burning, because it was more of a slow burn. And then Legends was obviously just, like, fucking fun as hell. You know what I mean?
That's where they had everyone in there, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's just a fun, like, little action romp show. Supergirl was like, awesome, yes, more Krypton stuff on the TV is great.
I thought you didn't like Supergirl.
I started out liking it a lot. Then it was just like, oh my god, the feminism bashing is too much. Like, it's not even creatively done. It's bad.
That shit's annoying.
So,
that's like some call her daddy shit.
That is some call her daddy shit right there, brother. it is what it is. It takes place in Gotham, and it's a Gotham where apparently Batman has disappeared and has left the city under complete chaos for 3 years.
Wonderful.
Yes. Good job, Bruce. You did it. So then Kate Kane comes back after she discovers that a former lover of hers was taken hostage by the season-long villain Alice. It's basically her Joker. It's literally the same, but it's just gender-bent.
That's weird.
She's just a psychopath. Yeah.
Okay.
She's a little bit better at fighting than the Joker, like, choreography-wise. Yeah.
That's kind of what I like about the Joker, is he never, like, brawls with people.
No.
He's always smarter.
Alice is out here brawling, bro. I'll show you a clip later. She's cool. But my main issues were that, like... They try to do too much for a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand you got a plot build, but, like, I think their ideas of what they wanted to do and the themes of the show that they want were there, but, like, they just executed it like a 12-year-old.
Bummer.
Yeah.
That's a big bummer.
Because I'm like, oh, this could be so cool if they did it this way, and maybe just, like, had a little bit different direction with her flashbacks of her, like, you know, dealing with being a lesbian in the military kind of stuff. Like, that's some heavy themes and stuff like that, that you could have done that way more creatively and really had a banger of a season or series premiere, but...
And that's relatable.
It's relatable. It's a topical thing right now, too. It's
100%.
Like, it's great, the themes that are in there, but they just kind of pooped the bed with the writing.
You hate to see it.
It's unfortunate, yeah, because I think the show had a lot of potential. But the action stuff obviously looks great. Ruby Rose did good. Fight choreography was really good. But again, the dialogue, and it really hit home when, at the end of the episode, she's discovered the Batcave, and she's talking to her version of Lucius.
Wait, she finds the Batcave?
Yes, literally within minutes.
What?
Literally within minutes.
A great hiding spot you got there, Bruce.
Because she goes into Bruce's office, and she notices that, like, his mother's pearls, which were taken, obviously, when they died.
Right.
They were off.
the place of where they usually are. So she moves it back and then twists it, and then all of a sudden it's a hidden door, and then the bat cave goes down.
How clever.
So that happens, and then she's looking at the bat suit, and she's like, the bat suit's like, it looks okay. It needs some modifications. And the stand-in Lucius guy is just like, oh, the suit's literal perfection.
I built it.
Yeah, kind of stuff. And then she turns and says, it will be when it fits a woman. And that's when I immediately slapped my forehead with my hand and said, literally anything else.
So they do it in every, like, DC show with a female lead.
Apparently, like. They're 2 for 2 now. It's kind of crazy.
I don't understand that because is Batman not a thing in this now, or he's dead, or like, what are they doing?
He completely exists in the series. He's just missing. So like, I think there's a leeway you could have like a Bruce Wayne actor come in, but I don't think they're ever gonna have Batman on the show.
Then how does she even come into his office and doing all that? That's just annoying. There's holes in that plot line.
It is what it is. I give it like probably a 2.5 out of 5. As far as, like, series premieres go.
She's no Halle Berry, is what you're saying.
Let us not discuss Catwoman. That was a travesty. That was a travesty of a film for DC. Oh, my God.
Who's your best Catwoman?
Best Catwoman? There's only been one. Oh, sorry. It's Anne Hathaway. It's not even close.
You damn right it is.
It's not even close.
Anne Hathaway and Leather.
That's a bad woman right there.
Woo! Every time.
Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I just immediately... I'm sorry if this is terrible for our... maybe one female listener. Yeah. But seeing her get on that bike at the end of that movie, I was like, God damn. Take my money. Yes, you've earned it.
You work out quite a bit, don't you?
Well done.
Excellent.
Squats, mate.
See, your gold gym squats membership is getting used quite a bit. All right. Moving right along onto some video game news. The main thing I want to talk about is Jedi Fallen Order, since we already talked about Star Wars.
Come right back around.
This game takes place, in between 3 and 4. Yes. So it's past the Order of 66. It surrounds around one Jedi that survived, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, game looks awesome.
Oh my god, visually, I was like, am I watching a movie or is this a game? Do I need it now and it's not even out?
Yes. Third person RPG has all the goodies in there. OG Stormtroopers, OG AT-STs, all that stuff. So I am looking forward to it quite a bit. I hope to God Darth Vader is in it at some point.
I hope so too.
There are rumors, but I see no confirmations.
It makes me nervous, okay, because it feels like we're going back to old school gaming, which I really like, because Borderlands 3 just came out and it has multiplayer.
Nice.
But Borderlands has always been about its story. And growing your player throughout the thing, right?
Yeah.
Without in-game purchases.
Yes.
And this is a game that will not have multiplayer from what I can understand.
Right.
So this story needs to be dynamite. You need good dialogue, you need good quest, and you need to not play the game for me.
No, yeah, I agree.
Because I don't want you to... Here's a golden trail of where you need to go next and how you need to do it. I don't want that. I want it to just, like...
Like, it needs to be in between that and, like, Assassin's Creed level. Because, like, that's the thing always frustrated me with Assassin's Creed is, like, I wish, like... There are times where, obviously, I could figure out where to go on the map. But then there are times I'm like, I'm just running around in a fucking horse for 8 hours. I have no idea where this mission is, and I can't find it.
Because you missed some bit of dialogue telling you where to go.
And then you gotta go all the way back, let's do it again. Like, oh, I was supposed to turn there. Okay.
Exactly. So I want... That's a good point. I want big free roam, independent feel to it, but I want the story to progress well, to keep me interested.
Yes. And, I'm looking forward to it. Can't wait.
We'll see.
We will see.
I don't know if I'm going to get it. I looked for a demo earlier and I couldn't find one, so I guess there's not one out yet. But
as soon as it is, I'll have to scurry on over here in my jet fighter.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, park it out back.
Yes, park it back behind my other AT-ATs.
Yes. All right, moving on to our League Minute, which is another sub-segment of video game stuff, where, of course, we give you some low elo insight into all the things happening with League of Legends. World is happening, we're past the play-ins, and it's on to the group stuff. It's for realsies. So,
real quick, congratulations to Clutch Gaming.
Yes.
Making it out of their play-ins.
Round of applause.
We are all very proud of you.
Well done.
It was nice knowing you. The group you got put into is going to ram it up your butthole constantly.
Yes.
But, hey, do your best.
We're going to preview all the NA team pools because we don't care about literally any other region, obviously, because we're America.
It is worlds. I like watching the other, like, EULCS, I'll watch it throughout the season. LCK, for sure I'm watching it. But when Worlds comes, I am North America, all the way.
Yes.
Until they get eliminated.
Swiftly.
Then
Swiftly.
Then I'll support the other people I actually like, but until then, they are enemies.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So, we'll go over Clutch's pool first, since they were the aforementioned winners of the play-in stages.
Right. So, Clutch gets in, and I'm assuming they're the fourth seed, since they had to win the play-in to get in there.
Have to be.
Which... is, you know, it's shitty. If you know anything about brackets, the lowest seed's going to end up playing the highest tier seed in the first match, typically.
Yeah.
So, Clutch Gaming gets in there with RNG, Royal Never Give Up,
God's sake.
SKT, and Fnatic. All three of which have won Worlds within the last 5
years.
Oh
my god.
So, I really don't know if Clutch can make it out. I'm not going to count them out entirely because it's League. You never know what can happen.
It is League of Legends.
But... I doubt they're going to do anything. They start their campaign off tomorrow at 8 a.m. So that would be October 12th for those if you're listening late. But they will be playing against RNG.
Or perhaps they're listening in the future.
Oh my god. Wow.
Bench your mind, didn't I?
But then they have Fnatic and SKT also playing that same day. I hope that they do the best they can. I don't really know
how it's not going to happen. There's a little guy named Faker in that group, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Uzi. For the you're going to look at me in the eye and tell me that Cody Sun's going to do anything against Uzi.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to say that.
For the love of Christ.
Uzi is a god-tier Vayne player, and I already love her anyway. So, I mean, Uzi's super fun to watch. Yes. I'm excited to see their pool just because of the talent that we're going to get to see.
True enough. True
against
enough.
Against NA.
And also, like, what if we just kind of scrap it out a little bit? We, you know, ruffle some feathers. Maybe we force a couple game fives or something, you know?
It would be awesome because we got to see Cloud9 do the same thing last year and, like, upset a lot of people. So I almost feel like Cloud9 was in a very similar position that Clutch is finding themselves in.
Theirs was a pretty difficult pool, but it was not this massive death pool that Clutch is in right now. So I think, like, standings-wise, near impossible, but it is League of Legends. And, you know, their 10-minute... Harold Strat apparently causes a lot of chaos.
Dude, you gotta open the gates.
You gotta open the gates.
Bust them fuckers open.
But I think they're not gonna match up well against Korea because Koreans typically play like that. Like, they scrap 24/7 if you watch any of the LCK. Like, it is constant from start to
finish. Yeah, they smother you. As soon as they smell blood, they step on your neck.
Like, invades, level ones, like, all that stuff. So I think that game is definitely an L, but, like, Fnatic and RNG are a little bit more slow-paced because they usually play around their AD carries, obviously.
Right.
So I think in those games, maybe Clutch can do something, but we'll see.
I really like that about the Korean teams. They punish you hard for mistakes.
It's so
fun
to
nice
watch. It's amazing.
I'm trying to find the pool for Worlds, but it is evading me. So just banter along with whatever. all right, how do you think Liquid's going to do?
Liquid's going to do terrible.
All right, that was not the best open-ended question. I really don't know, man. Like,
Liquid's gonna do awful, and unless Double If actually grows a pair at this Worlds, then they're not gonna do anything.
Liquid plays DWG.
Don Juan Gaming.
Yeah, I think they should win that.
Listen, I think Core JJ is gonna have to make some plays around the map that don't involve Double If, which is weird to say. Because that's your star player, right? But, like, he has consistently shown that when he has to step up and make a risky play or a 60-40 play at Worlds, he's not going to do it.
Yeah, it's hit or miss.
He's not going to do it. Like, it's just straight up. That's how he is. He's not aggressive enough as an AD carry to play at the World stage.
And so are we going to get another Worlds Double Lift hype video like we do every
year? Oh, we're going to get one where they're just like, oh, he's the greatest play ever made. And blah, 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 blah.
I love Double, though. I always will.
I love him as a player, too. I think his personality is great personality for the game. But no, he's not going to do anything this world. I'm sticking to it until he proves me wrong. Sorry.
Because they're in there with Don Juan, they're in there with IG, and they're in there with AHQ. And Invictus won last year.
Yeah, I think IG's their tough. I think as far as, like, making it out, they have an easier option, obviously, compared to Clutch.
Yeah, they just need to finish in second.
Yeah, and the easiest that we have for our North American teams is Cloud9, because the only one they have to really worry about is G2.
Yes.
Because you have Griffin and HK in Hong Kong Attitude? Please.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah, I really hope that C9 can just pull together the wins that they need early.
Yes.
If they can put themselves at the level they need to play against G2, against these other teams, then I don't see Cloud9 having an issue making it out of groups.
I think they totally can, man. It's not an impossibility, especially as long as, like I said, they take care of the easy dubs.
then you can put all the eggs in the basket for G2, and we just fine.
And that's something I find North America struggles with.
Finding the easy dubs?
Yeah, they will play down to teams that are below them.
Oh my god.
Sucks. Especially, you're listening to two former athletes here. So
yes.
When you play down to another team's level, it's demoralizing not only on a personal level, which can influence the rest of the tournament, but it brings down team morale because you know you're better than that.
And you're just not performing. It's just this weird, it almost feels like you're walking around in tar. Like you're just like not able to get anything going.
So then that would lead the team to really need to find a leader. And I'm not sure who that's going to be for them. That's something that I'm looking forward to, because who is really going to pull them out?
It ain't Sneaky.
No. We just need consistency out of Sneaky. I need him to not die early in lane, and I need him to be there. Man. Just fucking play Sivir, dude.
Play Sivir every game.
Play Sivir, play Ashe. We'll protect you. Lane your ult if you're playing Ashe. Be next to people if you're playing Sivir.
Yes. Oh, man.
But I'm looking forward to it, man. We got a lot of potential here. A lot of potential for North America. And I hope that goes well. Because I really am tired of seeing Asian teams win.
Because
it seems like it's the same thing every year. And then, ooh, Fnatic won this year. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's get something new in there, man.
I agree.
Something different.
Bilky, we've reached that point of the show. If you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Hey! Bilky! What's the deal with all this Joker hugabaloo?
People are just hating. Haters gonna hate.
This man's been through enough hatred. I mean, for God's sakes, the world turned him into a serial killer.
And they just didn't care.
I just don't understand it.
He needs some love.
Needs some love and understanding. Some compassion.
Some Harley Quinn in his life.
Ooh, love me some Harley Quinn. All provocative and stuff. You smack me with that hammer all you want to. Except for if you want to read, where we give you some Netflix comic book reading recommendations, all that other good stuff. I recently watched Raising Dion. It is on Netflix. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Never.
It is about a child that has superpowers being raised by a single mother.
That's pretty bad. That's
wonderful.
That's awesome.
And the only reason I watched it, by the way, because it was just on the main feed on Netflix, it just said Michael B. Jordan produced or whatever, and I was like, yep, good, click.
Here we go.
Yes. Overall, I really enjoyed the series. I feel like the lead actress was kind of underwhelming, and the kid actor was
That's what we've talked about that before with.
He wasn't like bad, but he wasn't like, I think the real age of him is like 8 or 7 years old. So it's like, am I really judging
this 8 year old,
this eight child's acting ability?
Where are your acting chops?
That'd be like me like being upset if Mila was in a movie in any capacity. Like, Mila, you really didn't deliver the emotional line I needed you to feel
as a 2 year old.
As a 2 year old, like. So I'm going to give a pass on that. But no, I think the story and the concept behind it was pretty cool. Plot was pretty paper thin. It was pretty straightforward. Very predictable twist there as far as like how the kind of the villain gets discovered in the story. Right. But it's really cool. His dad, played by Michael B. Jordan, of course.
Cool.
Was exposed to this weird radiation storm in Iceland or something. They were looking at the northern lights, and then all of a sudden there was this meteor that came down. So I think it's got more of like an alien.
They turned into the Fantastic Four.
Oh, God. No, I think maybe this was his attempt at redeeming himself in the genre. Thank God he did this one.
Shit, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it was pretty good. There were some great themes about having to not only explain to a kid that you're different because of your superpowers, but also you're different because you're a black kid. Because his mom put him in, like, a white public school, basically. So,
okay.
Yeah, there was some cool stuff that happened there. His best friend is actually, like, a disabled child, which I thought was, like, freaking awesome.
Hell yeah.
It was like, that's awesome.
PC.
Yes, PC. But Michael B. Jordan definitely had his fingers in all of this kind of stuff. Because you can just tell. Because that's how he is as a human being.
Yeah.
So you could tell that he definitely had a lot of influence in producing and getting the show off the ground.
That's good. I think if you're going to produce something, you need to be very hands-on.
He was, from what I read, as far as like that stuff goes. Because
you're trying to create an image that you've painted in your own mind, and the people can't read your mind.
No.
Especially the ones working for you.
So but not mind readers. There is a mind reader in the show, though. I think they set up him for the villain in season 2, which is going
to
be cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I might have to check that out then.
Can't wait, man. And then as far as like reading goes, my favorite Spider-Man is now on his own journey with Mr. Carnage. Yes, they have started an absolute Carnage series with Miles Morales. I'm going to be picking up those issues swiftly. after the podcast is done, so I cannot wait.
That's going to be badass, man.
Yes.
Shout out to Ryan. Ryan's got a Carnage sleeve.
Yes, dude. Shout out to
Carnage Ryan. Venom sleeve. I'm looking forward to
that. I'm telling you, all he's missing is Toxin. He'll have the whole family.
That would be pretty badass. I wonder if he's thought about that. Because his forearm is all Venom, and then up into his bicep, it turns red, and it turns into Carnage.
See, like, on the inside, he could have Toxin.
Yeah, he could have Toxin whole, in like, here. In maybe it, like, up here into his shoulder. That would be sick. I might have to call him later.
Whole Venom family.
Ryan, I have it. I know how to finish your tattoo.
Toxin is cool. I think that's another thing they could do with the Venom spinoffs eventually.
Yeah, I mean, if they keep funding them.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that.
Good for you, Mr. Hardy.
Yeah, indeed. So the only thing I really have as a rec is Boruto.
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 What is Boruto?
So Boruto is Naruto's son.
Oh.
Yes.
What?
Very cool, right?
Oh my God.
In theory.
Oh.
So.
In theory.
I'm recommending this because I was one of the people who was pretty avidly against Boruto.
Mm.
But that, after thinking about it, I feel like I'm a Star Wars old head if I do that.
Right.
Because it needs to move on. They can't just keep doing the same thing with the story, and that's why I gave it a try. And it's really not bad.
Similar honestly. To a Dragon Ball scenario, yeah. I'll be completely honest. I would have liked to have just been Gohan. Like, it was time.
Yep.
Sorry.
I agree.
Hot take.
And then Goten popped out.
Oh, good old Goten.
And all he can do is fuse. And, yes. Fusion.
Which
whatever.
Is BS, because he's more powerful than Gohan anyways.
That's a whole thing. Boruto a try. It's slower at first because it's kind of like the original Naruto. So they're building up characters and they're building up the child. And you get to see all the friends. So then you learn the tendencies and the jutsu that comes with each family. But you already have some backstory because you know some of the children from their parents already.
Right.
Which is nice because they don't have to do a whole origin story for all the kids again.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, cool. But it is slow at the beginning. So if you really hate it, I mean, obviously, don't keep watching it. But if you're on the fence, keep it going because it does get into some more serious stuff.
Mm.
And you get to see Naruto and Sasuke go ham.
Oh, baby.
Oh, it's sick.
If anything, you watch it for that.
That's why I kept going because I had people who were saying, no, dude, just keep going because they really start to throw hands. And you see Hokage version of Naruto.
For the love of God.
Yeah, and Sasuke's been off training doing his own thing. And it's just, like, their abilities have quadrupled, dude. It's insane. And it's so well done visually.
Yes.
Great animation. So that's my rec, Boruto. Stick with it if you're on the fence. If not, find something else.
Oh, well, it'll get your shins either way.
Exactly.
Well, Bilky, we have done this podcast yet again for $0.00.
For free.
For free. That's because we use podcast.com. It's the best place to host your podcast because it gives you optimal search engine capabilities. In case you don't know what that means, if you go onto your app and you just type in a little bit, boom, we're like the second one that pops up.
Bam.
Optimize.
Popularity. Put the clout engine. In the bag.
Yes. All of the things. Yes. And so it's completely free. That's why we use it and we love it. Also, you can get our comic recommendations. So if you want to check out the Carnage stuff and Miles Morales, you can go on to Comixology. And if you have an Amazon account, it's a couple clicks of the button. You can switch over and get that linked into there.
For nothing. It's so simple.
$0. It doesn't even... You can just link it.
It's more difficult to reset your email password than to link your Amazon account to Comixology.
It's probably the most solid one we've ever done on the podcast so far. Goodness.
Awesome. Oh,
well, I will see you all around next time, and so will Mr. Bilky. Where can they find you on social media in case they want to interact with you?
I have been more, I don't even know what... Like, I've been on Twitter more.
Participating?
Been more active. Participation points? I don't know. You can find me on Twitter at LGBilks, all one word, or lowercase. And then you can find me on the Instagram at BILKOZBY, open for your interpretation.
Excellent. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jalen Holston. We'll see you next time, you sweaty animals.
Bye.